Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Lori Fatchett McGee, and I am serving as a worship associate this morning. I'm joined in welcoming you by Christina Spotty, who is leading our service. We are glad you are with us this morning. We hope you find something in the service today that nourishes your spirit and helps you find and keep your balance. We light our chalice this morning with these words from Ellen Goodman. We spend January 1st walking through our lives, room by room, drawing up a list of work to be done, cracks to be patched. Maybe this year, to balance the list, we ought to walk through the rooms of our lives, not looking for flaws, but for potential.
A new light is forming, our hearts are unfolding. Beauty is breaking right through the dawn. All loving, all knowing, all giving and growing. This life ever changing within the song. Oh Father, oh Mother, oh friend and oh lover, life wonderful. Release us, protect us, challenge us, guide us through all in all. And the love grows when the light moves between you and me. We gotta shine that light and make ourselves free. The morning is coming, there's a warm breeze a-blowing, and the birds sing a tune with a melody. All hearts are ascending, all brokenness mending. Strangers and friends are as family. Oh Father, oh Mother, oh friend and oh lover, life wonderful. Release us, protect us, challenge us, guide us through all in all. And the love grows when the light moves between you and me. We gotta shine that light and make ourselves free. Comes a dawn with every day. Make us smile and share it and give it away. Brighten up a cloudy day. Shine a light and share it. Bring on the day. Comes a dawn with every day. Make a smile and share it, give it away, brighten up a cloudy day. Shine a light and share it, bring on the day, bring on the day.
In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent. Wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight when your courage kindled and you stepped onto new ground. Your eyes young again with energy and dream. A path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. Come, let us worship together. The creator of PostSecret.com, Frank Warren, has said, "Every single person has at least one secret that will break your heart." If we could just remember this, I think there would be a lot more compassion and tolerance in the world. Think about your secrets and the things you keep hidden, and then think on the people that you encounter in the world. Knowing what you know about your own soft spots, the pain and sorrow and grief you have experienced, what would it be like to know that that depth is matched by others with different experiences? We will now keep silence for a few breaths together.
If you would join me now in the spirit of prayer or meditation, as is your practice. Great Spirit of life, as the new year begins, we turn inward to reflect about the state of our lives. What lessons have we learned in the past year, and which new ones now call us forward? To whom do we still owe an apology or an expression of thanks? With whom must we draw fresh boundaries? As we pause from our regular rhythms of rush, 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 we open ourselves to new perspectives and possibilities. We give thanks for these months and for the wisdom they afford us. May they help bring us together in the sacred dynamics of life so that we, as individuals and as members of this community, might reach our full potential. As we step across this threshold, let this new year be a greater and greater awe and gratitude, of deeper kindness and acceptance, and more courageous acts of conviction. For a kinder, more equitable, and sustainable world is not only possible, she is on her way. And in the quietness of this sacred community, we can even hear her breathing. Amen, and blessed be. Over the years, I have come to realize that the greatest trap in our lives is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. Success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation, but their seductive quality often comes from the way they are part of a much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we have come to believe in the voices that call us worthless and unlovable, then success, popularity, and power are easily perceived as attractive solutions. The real trap, however, is self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves once again that I am a nobody. My darker side says I am no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence.
It is so good to be here today and to see so many familiar faces. It has been more than 2 years since the last time I was here on a Sunday morning, and it is just a blessing to be here, not just because you are familiar and people who love me and who I love, but also because you are people who love to sing, and I have missed that so much. Today we'll be exploring our own personal, individual resistance. Resistance to openness, vulnerability, intimacy. It may or may not be comforting to you to know that right about this time, the congregation in the UU Church of Youngstown is going to be exploring the same topic today. Reverend Matt Alsbaugh, who is the minister there, as well as my teaching pastor, and I have been sharing resources and ideas for this worship service, but have each created our own. This is the first Sunday of a new year, a good time still, even a couple of days in, to look back at the year past and look forward to the year ahead of us. It is a time celebrated by many, a time that has always seemed so arbitrary to me, but of importance to some. The time of transition from one year to the next is marked in our culture most notably by making New Year's resolutions. Resolutions were never really my thing, but it can still be a good time to take stock, looking through the rooms of our lives, taking an inventory. What went well? What was good? What was awful? What could have been better? And how? We can take time to think about what we want to let go of and what we want to make happen, and what of the past we want to carry into the future. If perhaps you've celebrated Advent and made space in your life through the month of December for the Holy, this is a good time to reflect on how you might continue inviting the Holy in. And if you didn't celebrate Advent this way, it's still a good time to spend wondering how you might make space for the Holy to enter your life in new and different ways. While we are doing this reflecting, it's good to consider bringing in a practice of confession. Some may cringe at that phrase, having been raised Catholic or in another tradition where confession was a regular part of religious life. The practice of confession that we'll be talking about isn't a rite so much as a part of simply being human. Confession became part of Christian religious traditions in the late 4th century CE. St. Augustine of Hippo explained in a sermon in 395 that forgiveness of sins requires confessing to another, not only to God. This is to prevent the sinner from experiencing isolation, which can come from that individual bearing the sin alone, apart from their community, and that by making a public confession, relationships can be restored through the intimacy created by sharing, making reconciliation possible. Like other religious language, the term confession has acquired baggage due to the ways that it has been practiced and used and misused, sometimes by those who are in power. The look and shape of confession has changed over the centuries, at least at first glance. Taking a closer look, though, maybe it hasn't changed all that much. While making a statement before a gathered community seems unlikely today, how many of us watch reality TV shows which are filled with people's confessions and secret sharing? There are apps for sharing secrets, like Whisper, and websites like secretsanon.com, and blogs like scarymommy.com, where we can confess whatever we want or need to get out. And the difference is that we can do so anonymously using social media from the comfort of our own homes or perhaps the comfort of our own phones. PostSecret.com got started this way 10 years ago. Frank Warren, its creator, gave away a few thousand postcards, self-addressed, and asked the strangers he gave the cards to share their secrets anonymously. The cards had instructions on them of what to do. His idea was that they would be used as both sharing a secret and an artistic expression. The cards started coming in, not just from the people that he had handed cards to, but from all over the country and then the world. By 2012, more than 500,000 cards had already come in to him, and he posts them on his website every Sunday. Today, he has more than 1 million. Mr. Warren started the idea as an experiment just to see what would happen. an idea he'd come up with as he had his own secrets that he wanted to let go of. There is something deeply human about wanting and needing to share our secrets, these most personal stories. And yet, in Unitarian Universalism, we have no theology of confession. As a religion that says that all have inherent worth and dignity, that we are not born in sin, that we are held in a love beyond belief, always, from womb and tomb to beyond. Where is confession? Around the Jewish High Holy Days in our congregations, we often come closest to it. We may seek atonement for our sins. We may seek forgiveness. Not everyone practices, and outside of those who are Jewish, it is unlikely that anyone practices with the depth Judaism calls for, with fasting and praying and working toward reconciliation and restoration of right relationship with each other before God. Even in the case of Yom Kippur, if we do not confess by acknowledging in words what we have done, how we have fallen short, where we have erred, who we have hurt, how can we truly heal and be healed? As Nuon says in our reading, the greatest trap in life is self-rejection. When we feel rejected, left alone, or abandoned, we think we are nobody and that we deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. This describes well the consequences of secret keeping. First, we reject ourselves, and then we feel others rejecting us. Whether they are or not, we may feel that way, creating a cycle of rejection that keeps us aching and sore and wounded. How can we know that we are beloved in our core if we feel fake, broken, ashamed, or something else deep inside? A little less than 2 years ago now, I began carrying a burden. Not a secret exactly, although close, as it was kept very private. After some testing, I found out that I had tested positive for HPV and cervical cancer. The good news was that it was super early and very manageable, and with regular follow-ups that I've had, everything's been very good for over a year now. Still, I was not expecting the news, and I had bad experiences with the doctors. And the news itself, and being ill from the testing, plus concerns about what this might mean, or what this could mean, or how people might look at me, it was a lot, and so I held it in. There is an expression that we're only as sick as our secrets, and keeping this hidden from most everyone certainly made me feel sicker. Yes, I needed time to process it, to find out what it even meant to me, but I also felt somewhat stigmatized, and so was hesitant to talk with people about it. Not talking about it made me less vulnerable in some ways, but the lack of openness and intimacy kept me stuck in feelings of loneliness and self-rejection. So I made a point to begin talking with friends and colleagues about it, and letting it become more normalized, and helped destigmatize it for me. Going back to Augustine, his beliefs about needing to confess to other persons may have truth in some cases, but there are plenty of cases where it seems like public confession can do as much or more harm as it would do good. There are pros and cons both ways. In ministry, we have an expression, "Preach from the scars, not from the wounds." That is, share personal experiences that are not still raw and bleeding. We need the time that we need, however much time that is, to process and at least begin to heal ourselves before we can share with others outside of a very small circle. And this is okay. I heed the wisdom of Alcoholics Anonymous's ninth step. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Confessions have consequences, and we need to be responsible for sharing them. We keep secrets for many reasons. When the consequences of sharing them impact others, we need to pay attention to what this may mean. This is not to say that people who are directly affected should not be told, but perhaps that guidance and help from others might be beneficial. Confessing secrets in an anonymous environment can feel safer in some ways because no one knows whose confession it is. We can say whatever we want and let it go, and wherever it lands, it lands. There's no judgment that we know of, no consequences or ridicule, no concern for personal safety or guilt or shaming. Confessing with others, loved ones, teachers, ministers, counselors, and so on, can feel more painful sometimes because there is no getting away from what you say, either for them or for you. It can also be more cathartic, helping clear your conscience. It creates intimacy and offers the possibility of healing. It may make the confessing more real in some ways. On the other hand, confessing anonymously outside of any relationship prevents growth and change due to a lack of accountability or the same opportunity for healing the relationship. And yet, confessing anonymously can give us the space that we need to put something into words, to commit to it, prepare ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, for the change and growth that we seek. In your orders of service, you have a blank note card. On these note cards, I'd like for you to share a secret, something no one or few people know. Maybe it's a burden that you're carrying that you want to let go of. Maybe it's a fear or guilt or shame that you have been holding on to. It might be something trivial or something big, something from your childhood or something recent, a betrayal, a desire, a regret, a gratitude. Write it down and we will collect them and read them. No one will see them other than Lori and I. They will be anonymous, and to help ensure that, the cards that we collect will be mixed with others that have already been made up from postsecret.com and other sites. If you have absolutely nothing to share or don't feel safe sharing, please write on your card, "I have nothing to share," and turn it in to help ensure the anonymity for all.
Confession is a stripping away of protection, the telling of a truth which might once have seemed like a humiliation become suddenly a gateway, an entrance to solid ground, even a first step home. To confess is to free oneself, not only by admitting a sin or an omission, but to profess a deeper allegiance, a greater dedication to something beyond the mere threat of immediate punishment or the desolation of being shunned. To confess is to declare oneself ready for a more courageous road, one in which a previously defended identity might not only be shorn away, but be seen to have been irrelevant, a distraction, a working delusion that keeps us busy over the years and held us unaccountable to the real question.
I can eat a dozen donuts in one sitting.
I hide Pop-Tarts
in the garage.
I fear abandonment.
I am incredibly insecure and I feel worthless.
I love one of my children.
I'm scared.
I am so grateful to the psychiatrist I saw when I was 19 who told me I would be fine again. He saved my life.
This was a year of losses, but I am so happy with what I have become.
I'm not sure I can really love a partner anymore.
I never feel good enough.
I lied about something important.
I can't help believing this will be my year.
I still love her. 2 girlfriends and 5 years later.
Quitting weed is the best decision I ever made.
Every time I approach an overpass, I think how easy it would be to simply turn the wheel ever so slightly to the left and find peace at long last.
I struggle with depression.
I'm scared I'll die alone.
If people heard the 5 seconds after I hit end on end call on my phone, I would have no friends.
I'm scared of failing.
I don't have the heart to tell my mom that for the past few years, it's been me buying her Christmas presents from my dad.
I can't keep a secret.
I have nothing to share yet, but this has got me thinking.
I watched too much TV as a child.
As a child, I could be angry and violent. I was unkind to my sister, hurt our pet dog, and was abusive to a girlfriend.
I'm not as confident as the world thinks I am.
I want to be in love, but I'm afraid it won't solve all of my problems like I want it to.
I came from a very bad childhood and talk about it with twisted people. But I appear to be so together, feel I need to keep up the masks, even as I need desperately to confess.
Taking down the Christmas tree this year is the saddest thing I've done.
I wish I had a better relationship with my son.
I am someone's secret.
I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm running out of time.
I once bumped into a car in a parking lot and left. I don't know why. I have good insurance.
I don't find the value in myself, making it difficult for me to be my own advocate.
I regret that, after all this time, I am still distant and uninvolved in this church.
I need to be a better father.
I am unable to share my secret, but know this. The most expensive drink you will ever taste is free alcohol.
I was in an early marriage which was abusive.
I would like to share my secret, but it is too complicated to explain in a few words.
Confessions of the Ordinary Kind is the title of today's service, and the ordinary of it is our own sharing. The secrets that have been shared today run the spectrum of gratitude to silliness, embarrassment, to ache and pain and hurt, isolation to fear, inadequacy, loss, questioning. This is the spectrum of what it is to be human. By sharing our secrets, we risk vulnerability and intimacy with each other. It means we risk knowing the depth of our humanity, individually and collectively. It reminds us who we are and how hard it can be to be in this world. Sometimes we might judge others by their faltering without remembering our own. And instead of seeing in these confessions all the work to be done, cracks to be patched in the out of the way places of your heart where your thoughts never think to wander, we can see potential, our own. Knowing what we know, we can be more compassionate, more tolerant, more forgiving, more loving. We can let go of the fear and pain and sorrow and make a little more space for the holy to enter our lives, to say, this isn't serving me anymore. The seduction of safety and the gray promises of sameness whispered lies. It's time to let go. And we can begin a journey on a more courageous road for ourselves, to seek to include others who don't think the way we do, who don't speak the way we do, who don't love the way we do, who don't live the way we do. And so we can become the beloved that we want to be, We are able to restore ourselves and our own feelings of integrity and wholeness in confession, creating more depth across the landscapes of our lives. By connecting to each other, we can reconnect to our deepest sense of self, that thing we've maybe been avoiding for so long, and so be healed and feel whole. May it be so, and amen. We have gathered in dedication to the proposition that beneath all our diversity, there lies a unity that binds us one to the other, to the earth and to the stars. We have gathered in witness. Let us take our witness out into the world. Go in peace.